I want to share with you a thought. Again, it refers to my go-to many of these different thoughts. But I started thinking about Parshas Bahar, and somewhere along the way it hit me, like a lot of the conversation in Parshas Bahar focuses on Shemitah, my Shemitah till Har Sinai, you know, and Shemitah is a source of the concept of Bitochen, and Shemitah is a source of recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You know, there's so many different elements about Shemitah that we sort of miss the rest of the Parsha. So if you look at the Parsha has a lot about the concept of Dinei Momonos is found in the Parshas Bahar, which when you start the Parsha with Shemitah, which is, in certain sense, we look at as a Beraudim L'Mokim concept, not a Beraudim L'Chaveroi, we sort of miss the Dinei Momonos element of the Parsha. So just point out a few things, examples of what I'm referring to. So we have in the Parsha the Dinei Shemitah, which really is the idea of how to use your property correctly, how much you're supposed to be using your property, etc. From there we go into Shemitah goes to Yovel. Then within the concept of Yovel, the Torah talks about the Isser of overcharging or undercharging. If a person overcharges for a sale, undercharges for a sale. So I would ask you, where do you expect the mitzvah of overcharging, undercharging to be found? You might expect it to be found in Parshas Mishpatim, maybe in Parshas Kedoshim, because there's so many mitzvahs there. Right? So there, it talks about Geneva, etc. It talks about the Isser of Noah. The Torah talks about the idea of how to do kinyonim, the halacha of how kinyonim take place, kinyon by metaltalin, according to Rish Lakish, as learned from this week's parasha. A kinyon is done by transferring something miyad liyad. The Torah talks about the mitzvah of havos, of being hechazaktavoy. Hechazaktavoy means taking somebody into business, or somebody giving a business opportunities. And if that's not possible, so then you give stokah, so you use your money for stokah purposes. The Torah talks about selling bias in the Bote Ari Chayma. You have to return it over a certain time. Talks about how to, the Makaris for how we learn out the Kinyanim of Avadim, it's in this week's parasha, that the Avadim are compared to Karka. Just like there's Nachla by Avadim, there's Nachla by Karka, there's Nachla by Avadim. So we halachas of Kinyanim of Karka teach me how the halachas of the Kinyanim by Avadim. So it's a lot of not Benavim L'Chaveroi, it's how does a person himself use his money? Right? What is the proper usage of money? The Pasuk has a fascinating idea. It says, the person becomes impoverished and he sells from his achuza. Achuza is Yerusha of the Doris of his piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal Darshan, that you're not allowed to sell, you're only allowed to sell that achuza if you're miyomuch, if you're impoverished. And you need money, you push any money to live on. But let's say a person decides that he wants to sell the karka and get money and use it for investments. He had a great investment opportunity. He says, you know, it's worth it to sell the family farm because, you know, I can buy this big real estate thing in downtown Manhattan and make a killing. Chazal say, you're not allowed to do that. It's in this week's parasha. So the relationship that how a person relates to property, a lot of it is found in this week's parasha. So I want to talk about that concept a little bit. Just try to expand on that concept a little bit. So Hirsch says like this. So far I haven't got to Hirsch yet. I was listening to a shiur from Rabbi Victor Miller's Zatzal. So he used to say a shiur Thursday nights on different topics, whatever the topic was. It was 45 minutes or an hour. I think the fish was 45 minutes, and then he would go overtime with questions afterwards. So about 30 minutes into the shiur, he says, okay, that's the introduction, now let's get to the shiur. Okay, so it means sometimes, you know, it takes a while till you get to what you want to say. So rehearse it like this. So let's follow a halachic conversation. There's a gemara in Bar Mitzvah, the gemara is machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how you're kind of metaltal and meter rice. So being kinder karka, the more lives out, the more kedusha in the first parak, Mishnah, kesef, b'shtar, u'b'chazaka. You're kinder karka with kesef, kinder karka with the shtar, or with chazaka. Chazaka means in some way you better the property, thereby showing ownership. Okay? That's karka. Metaltalin, the Mishnah says you do either mashikha or hagbah. If it's an item which you can pick up, you pick it up. If it's something which it's too large or heavy to pick up, you pull it towards yourself. Then there's other kinyanim, sudar, etc. But those are unique to metaltalin. So whereas Mechlekes and Rishlokesh. Rishlokesh says, Minaraisa, the correct kinyan for metaltalin is mashikha and hagbah. That's a dindaraisa. Birkman says, no, Minaraisa, that's not the kinyan. Midaraisa, the kinyan, is kesef. The way you're cutting a talta midaraisa is with kesef. The same way you're cutting a karka. But Chazal came along and said that we can end up with the following scenario. So Reuven sells something to Shimon. Shimon pays for it. It belongs to Shimon now. Midaraisa belongs to Shimon. It's still in Reuven's possession. Shimon has not actually received the item yet. Now a fire breaks out in the warehouse. Right? So Reuven says, I'm not doing anything about it. It's Shimon's property which is burning down because Shimon paid for it already. So Shimon bought all this grain, right? Kesef's kind of. So it's Shimon's. Reuven says, I'm not going to waste my time trying to put out this fire. It's big Asik. You know, it's Shimon's stuff anyway. So Chazal said, no. That kesef is not kind of till you actually transfer it. So you need the transfer. Ruch, can I just tell you to shut the door? Sorry about that. So we have this Mechlekes and Reuven Rish Lakish. So if you think about it, what hashkafa concept can you have in this Mechlekes in the Gemara? Right? So that itself is like a fascinating thing. So Reuven says, if you go back to the first kinyan in the world, so who was the first kinyan in the world? Adam Rishon is told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Pru Uravu Miluas Oretz V'kiv Shua. Kibshua is to take something under your possession. So you take authority, take possession, take rights to it. That was the first act of Kinyan. The Baruch Hashem was the owner of the world. And the Baruch Hashem was Maknet to Adam Rishon. So you need Das Maknet. And that the Gemara says all these Kinyan only work with Das Maknet if the owner wants to be Maknet. So, okay, Mashiach works. Great. I'll go to your house and I'll take the behemoth. It's my behemoth now. I didn't want to sell it. I did Mashiach. So Mashiach only works if the owner says, Lech Mashiach Kaneh, the Gemara says. He has to tell you to do it. Or it's, let's say, the situation of a store where he even didn't say, tell me, but that was the intent. Right? He wants you to pick it up and be carnate. So that's considered as if he said, Lech Mashiach Kaneh, Lech Hagbeu Kaneh. Right? So Lech Chazeku Kaneh in the Bekarka. There has to be a Das Makna. The Baruch Hashem has Das Makna. And then Adam Rishon takes possession of it with kibush, with taking it under his possession. So by metalton, that's how Rish Lakish says that continues to be how kinyanim work. The person, the owner is has das makna, and the kaina, the person who's purchasing it, takes it into his possession, into his authority, into his control. That's kinyanim. Rishon disagrees. Rishon says that was the first kinyan. That's like being kind of from Hefker. But once somebody owns something, it's his. It's part of who he is. And the only way you can transfer that away from him is by giving him something, as it were, to replace it. You give him the kesef, and now the item can become yours. But there's no way you can get ownership by just taking it away from the person, because you go to the guy, they take off the guy's arm, and says, now it's my arm. It's not your arm, it's his arm. So the arm doesn't end here, the arm extends to the possession, to the properties as well. So the only way you can do is you can take that property and exchange it for something else by giving kesef. You're giving him the value of the property, so then it can become yours. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says that the parsha is introducing to us the correct way to look at ownership. It is part of the person has a true connection and bond to it. So, it's a going in his Pirish and Megillas Esther. So the going says that Haman arranges with Achashverosh to destroy the Jews. And I don't know if it ever bothered you, but it always bothered me, this pasuk. So they make this arrangement that on one day, on the 13th of Adar, which is going to be 11 months hence, he's going to kill every Jew. Minarva, Zokain, Tafan, Oshim, right? Everybody. And not only that, he's going to take their money. Like, really? Like, who cares about the money? Right? So he says, you know, we're going to wipe out every member of the family, everything, and we're also going to take, you know, the car. Like, you know, oh my gosh, I could handle the family, but the car, I'm done. You know, like, you know, Jack Benny's line, your money or your life, right? You know, like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, like, what does the pasuk mean? So the guy says that there are 3/4 parts to man. There is the neshama, which is rooted basically in Shemayim. Then he talks about the ruach, there's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The ruach, well, for now, we'll leave with the neshama part. Then there's the nefesh, which is the actual physical body, which is alive. And then there's the person's property. The person's property is part of who he is. As we look at, we sort of look at the Hashkavas Torah is that the person is clearly distinct from his money. Obviously, human being is much greater than his properties. The properties are not part of the definition of who he is. But Nebuch, society doesn't look at it like that. And we need to wean ourselves away from the attitude of society. Right? That's the, who are you? I'm a person with a lot of money. That's who I am. Right? People see their possessions as part of the definition of their self. So we tend to look at that as treif. That's a treif attitude. Right? You're much greater, right? And a person loses all of his property, has been lessened. He's not less of a person because of it. That's true. Just like a law letter, a person who loses his arm is not less of a person because of it. But it doesn't mean he didn't lose something which is part of his being. Right? The Torah, Bershom put these items by you because you were supposed to have them. For how long? That's the Bershom's decision. Like how long a person is supposed to have his finger, right? He might have his finger his whole lifetime, hopefully. And some people lose their finger during their lifetime, right? So somebody will have this money in their lifetime, somebody will lose the money in their lifetime. But it's part of the overall experience of what he is meant to be in this world. He is defined by his childhood, who his parents are, how he grew up, the culture that he had, his intelligence, his experiences. He's also defined by the properties that he has. That's part of the definition of the self of the person. That's what the Gaon is saying. And I think that's true if you think about a fascinating idea. The Gemara in Bamei Tzia says that when a person steals a pruta from the Oni, it's kilo noitel es nafshoi. So Pasha Yilim Pshat the Gemara very simply, because for an Oni, a pruta might mean the difference between life and death. That pruta, you know, they live in a world where the pruta was worth something, you know, right? So pruta was food. So it's a grum. But the way we're saying it, it can be more, it's maybe more basic than that. So the usher doesn't relate to that that pruta as being part of who he is. He has so many prutas, he doesn't relate to that. He relates to his very fancy home, he relates to the buildings that he owns, he relates to the yacht that he has, that's part of who he is. But the Ani looks at the pruta as part of who he is. And a person loses his money, he feels like he has been diminished. A person loses his job, he doesn't have parnasa, he doesn't have money, he feels diminished as a person. So that's not something which is connected to Hashkavas Torah. So the Gemara says, and that same Gemara, the more continues, the more says the pasuk says by kibishkar socher, a person delays paying the worker. So the Torah describes that you can't do that because because Nosei Lov is Nafshoi. He's pushing, taking his life in his hands for that schar. The Mor says he'll go up a tree, he'll do seemingly dangerous acts to be able to make that money. So why is that mutter? There's a famous tshuva of the Nadab Yehuda. Nadab Yehuda was asked about, there was a person who had been blessed by Kadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous wealth, and he owned forests, etc. He wanted to know, is he allowed to go hunting, like the nobleman of the... is he allowed to go hunting? So this is one of the seminal tshuvas about Tzar Balei Chaim. But in the tshuva, the Nadab Yehuda says, it's usher to go. He discusses multiple reasons. He says, because it's Sakanas Nefashos. You know, nowadays hunting is a sort of like, you know, you're sort of protected. You have your gun and you have your protective gear, etc. Those days, it was you're out in the forest. It was you and the bear. You know, you might win. The bear might win. It was maybe 60-40, but it was kind of the vicious. He says, but if you have servants who are getting paid to do that, that's okay. Because that's this Gemara. That they're allowed to put those up with the Sakana to make money. But for you, that it has no value of money, that's, it's also because Sakana is the Vashas. Ramosha has a tshuva. It's fascinating to read the tshuva. Ramosha has a tshuva about a person wants to know, is he allowed to go into Parnasa from the something called Zrikas Kadur? We call it baseball, pitching, right? Because he was concerned that, you know, there was a story which circulated right then that somebody had been killed by a pitch. You know, the protective gear wasn't so good, whatever it was, and the person was hit by the pitch, 90 miles an hour, hitting somebody, and it killed them. So are you allowed to become a pitcher? And that would be a parnosa, because you might kill somebody. Right? So Mershah says, well, were you allowed to be the catcher or the batter? You might get killed. So the answer is, if this is the way to make parnasa, for you that's mutter, the potential zakana. So it's mutter for both parties to be involved, etc. So he brings this gemara that it's mutter. So what's the gemara saying? The gemara is saying that the reason why you're allowed to do that, because parnasa is kiyus. It's not, you know what, I'm throwing away my life for nothing. You have a right to throw away your life for nothing, because not throwing away, this is life. Okay, so now, where am I going with this? At the end of last week's parsha, it talks about the din of mazik. And the mazik, so the psukim use lashonas, which indicate that you would actually should actually punish the mazik ben adam la'adam, not ben adam, you know, your mazik another adam. So we punish the adam that he receives the same type of punishment, the same type of action as was he did. So eye for an eye, etc. So Chazal came along and said that's not what it means. It doesn't mean eye for an eye. It means you give money and you're miskaper. So how does that work? So the supporter says, the puzzle is there, he really deserves to have his eye put out. He really deserves to have his arm cut off. But you pay money and it's okay. It's like, you know, we're back to the Jewish thing, you know. Like, money and it's okay. Like, you know, if you understand that money is something which a person connects to, and we're asking him to give that away, he's giving away part of his chiyus. So he's being mekayim the concept of the punishment in a certain sense. So yes, the filthy rich fellow who doesn't feel the difference giving away the $50, that's harder to understand. But the average guy, right? These values were values which would make a bite in his pocketbook, a significant bite. He feels that as part of his chiyus is being diminished. That's a kapara. Okay, from that vantage point, now let's talk about staka. So when I share money with the ani, I'm giving him chiyus, but I'm taking away part of my chiyus and I'm giving it to him. That's a chiddush of staka. The chiddush of staka is, there's a ma'aseh with the Chacham Sofer that, the Chacham Sofer once lent a balabas was down and out, and the Chacham Sofer had some money, and he lent this balabas. It was a businessman, you know, his business, something went sour. He lent him money, And Baruch Hashem, the businessman was able to use that money to get back on his feet and do well in the business. So he came back to pay back the loan. So he felt such a curse to the subsurfer, he bought the subsurfer a beautiful present, a snuff box, a gold snuff box. So, now that's ribbis. Right? So he comes to pay the loan, and he gives him the money, and he gives the subsurfer the presents. The subsurfer takes it, and he looks at it, and he oohs and he ahs over it, and he has this whole reaction, etc. And then he says, you know, I really would like to accept it, but the Torah says you don't accept it because it's ribbis, and he gives it back to the Baal HaBos. After the Baal HaBos left, so one of the Talmidim was present, her son who was present, I think his son was present, asked him, like, what was that about? like, it was usher. You're not into snuff boxes. It wasn't like he was like, you know, he was into the... He says, you don't understand. This is the first time in my life I've had the opportunity to refuse ribbis. So I say, Gornish! So how much card do I get for refusing it? Say, it didn't mean anything to me anyway, so I just gave it back. I say, wow, this is such a geschmack. I really want it, really want it. And then I give it back. I'm a kayim. Because of Russian Sivoy, I gave away something which is hard for me to give away. I get much more scar by appreciating it and then giving it back. That's what the subsurfer is saying. Right? What is the subsurfer saying? It says, when you give stalker, there's two ways to give stalker. When you give stalker, you know what? I'm a spendthrift. I really don't care about money. I'm happy to give it away. I'll give it to the Ani also. So that's good. Right? Some people will use it just to buy only them for themselves. And I give it to an Ani. Another guy says, you know what? I need this money. It's hard. I want this money. Money means a lot to me. It's not easy for me to give away money. But for you, I'll do it because that's important to you. I'm giving away something which is part of me. That's a chiddush of stalker. So the pasuk says in this parasha I mentioned he wants this word from Rav Hirsch. He points out, it says, Geres Hashav Vachayimach. You have a chiyuv to take care of the needs of the Ger Tarshav. So Ger Tarshav was a non-Jew who lived in Eretz Israel, who had committed in front of Beis Din, went to Beis Din Shel Yisrael, and made a commitment to keep the Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So he's allowed to be a Ger. He's allowed to be a Ger in the land. He's not really a Tarshav. He's not a citizen because this belongs to Klal Yisrael. But he's allowed to be Gor there. But from it was Gorshav. He sojourned there. But we allow him to settle here in a certain sense, even though he's a ger, because he's committed. Klai Yisrael takes responsibility for that person. The pasuk says the next pasuk talks about Yisrael. It says v'cheyach yichimoch. So why does it say by ger toshav v'chayimoch? And it says by the Yisrael v'cheyach yichimoch. And then say v'chayach yichimoch. Your brother will live with you. So Hirsch says that the difference in the dictum between the two psukim is v'chayimach means he shall live with you. V'chei achicha imach means the life of your brother is with you. It says when you go to work, you're going to work to take care of your life. You're also going to work to take care of the life of your brother. As you go to work, part of that act of getting chiyus is for you, and part of that act of getting chiyus is for somebody else. So as you're going and making the money, he says, you're living with a hashkafa, with an attitude, with an understanding. It's not for you. It's for somebody else. But that's the chayim shalachicha. You're doing it that for his life. This is life that you're giving to somebody. You give a person a penny. The penny, I don't know nowadays, but you know, something of value that has buying power, right? You're giving him, you're taking something away from you, and you're giving it to the other person. Rodessa says it in his, you know, Baal Machshava, Baal Musar way. He says that Yaakovino goes back for Pachim Ketana. So, if you think about it, it's difficult for us, you know. You pick your Adam Gadol that, you know, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the Stipler Goyin, Rav Shach, you know, he says, he goes back, you know, he left his pencil eraser in Beis Medrash, you know, and he's afraid that it's going to get, overnight, you know, the cleaning crew is going to clean it up. So he's, you know, he's 93 years old, but he takes his cane and he schleps back for that pencil eraser. So do we look at that as godless or strange? Like, that's not how we picture him. Like, he's above worldly things. It's not important to him, you know. He's this holy rabbi, spiritual, you know, pencil erasers, you know, just aren't, you know, so important. It's a special pencil eraser. He uses it to erase Divrei Torah. We make it like a spiritual thing out of it. It's like, what's going on? The Pasuk tells me that Tzadikim Chavim Elei Maman Yasa Megufa. Says Rav Dessler said that Yaakovin understood that everything the Rashab gave him is because he was supposed to have it. And that's part of his journey through life requires him to have this item. Either to use it, to give it away eventually, whatever it is, but he's going to have some, it's part of his, how he's supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a reason why it's by him. And from that vantage point, he can't just let it go. So we live in a world where we recognize that the Baruch Hashem is giving us everything. So everything which he's given to us is a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course it's very valuable. That's all part of the life experience of Yaakov Avinu that he's supposed to live through and be challenged by and use in his years of 147 years in this world. This is part of that process. He can't let it go. He can't just, whatever, don't worry about it. Right? Now, we live in a society where this is very difficult to do. I told you, this is my, my shira gave about the pancakes, you know. Right? Cardboard boxes. Cardboard boxes are more valuable than pachim ketanim, you know. I mean, they're very useful, you know. And when you need a cardboard box, it's so valuable to you. But if you would store a cardboard box from every single thing you got from Amazon and from Walmart and from Target and from who knows what, you know, DSW, you have no place to live, you know. Right? We live in a society where almost like, you know, you can't do this. But the Maisa, the Ashkava of the Torah is that there's a reason why you have it. And the reason why you have it means it's going to be part of you, who you are as a person through your lifetime. And you choose to use it. Part of the mitzvah is to give it away. And when you give it away, you're giving it away as something which you appreciate, its significance, that it's by you. And then you give that away to somebody else. That's a tremendously powerful thing that you're doing. And you're sharing that with somebody else. Or you're giving it to somebody else. Okay. So David asked me a question about hoarding. Okay. All right. So he wanted to know, like, you know, is it wrong to hoard? Is it right to hoard? How much you're allowed to hoard? Like, what's called your needs? You know, you're allowed to get your needs. You know, is, I need toilet paper. Is a week's worth mutter? Is 3 weeks worth mutter? You know, what's the story of hoarding? So, I'm not going to answer the halacha question. But I think for once, something which is pachim ketanim, all of a sudden became very valuable to us. We have all of a sudden a relationship with this item which seems to be worthless. And once we recognize that the supply is limited, besides that they charge more money for it, but it has more value to me. Now, if I would have told you a year ago, right, that you're going to you're going to want to try and hoard toilet paper, like, you know, you would have said, you know, Rabbi Reingold, you probably need to go to a therapist if that's what you want to do. I mean, 6 months ago, a guy would be storing hundreds of packs of toilet paper in his house. We would send him to the therapist. Like, there's something wrong with him mentally. And now we say, well, you know, I get it, right? Because it's valuable now. The value of toilet paper did not change from 6 months ago till now. But we lived in a world where it was so available and so abundant, we stopped to think about what value it has to us. And every item in our life is like that. Every item in our life is the fact that we have it so available makes us to forget how what it means. We only tend to see value in something when it's limited. And it's bad, so it's ridiculous. I mentioned to you before that the most valuable thing in the world is life. Probably the second most valuable thing in the world is air. It's probably the most important thing in the whole world. It's more important than toilet paper, even, right? But it's free, and it's very available. So we don't appreciate air. But Hashem gave us so much air available to live. When do you appreciate air? When you're scuba diving, and all of your air is inside of a container. And you have a limited supply of air all of a sudden. So then you're very aware of how much air you have and how valuable the air is to you. Water is very, very valuable. After air, probably water is the most important thing in the world. Again, do we appreciate every drop of water that we have? Wow, the Rishon gave me water. And part of Yaakov Avinu looked at Pachim Ketanim the way we look at toilet paper now, but without having to go through the experience of seeing it limited. Because he understood that everything which we have in our life is supposed to be part of the process of how we're supposed to go through this world, what we're supposed to get out of the world, and then use that in some way to give back to the world. So we are defined by this process. With that, I mentioned to you once Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim said there's a fascinating piece from Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim said he predicted in the 1920s the downfall of communism. I told you this piece, right? He says communism is the idea that there's no ownership. It's collective property. There's no individual ownership. Right? Clearly in the Torah that's not the Hashkafas HaTorah. Hashkafas HaTorah is each person has items. Right? Says this is codified in halacha concept. How much of a varaya is a statement of how powerful the idea of ownership is. It gets power in Bezdin that I win in Bezdin because I'm muchzik. I have it. It's mine. You think about that. He says, but why the Rishon do that? Why the Rishon make bialis in the world that the idea of having things? And it's such a powerful right to it that I win in Bezdin even though I have no proof. Right? So we have the biggest tzaddik in the world walks into Bezdin and says, this guy stole something from me. The fellow says, no, it's mine. The Bezdin says that the tzaddik loses and the fellow wins because he has it. It's his. It's his item. So Rabbi Yeruchim said, why is that? He says, because the Rishon created a world of chesed, a world of chesed yibona. And if you don't have something, you can't give it. So the Rishon created ownership as such a powerful thing because it makes it that much more greater, the idea of giving. But if I'm forced to give because I don't have anything to give, so that's not really giving. I'm not a bal chesed. He says, the communist society will fail because they've taken away the opportunity of chesed from people. And eventually what happened was a society which all became takers. Because everybody had been trying to get for themselves, and they were not givers. And the society eventually failed. But Yeruchim wrote this in the 20s, when communism was coming out. And it's such a beautiful idea. Like, why should you own it and not me? Right? Socialism is, you know, like we have members of our Congress which are who believe strongly in the idea of socialism. And really, we should share all the property. It's such a beautiful concept. It is. When you have something and you feel connected to it, and you feel it's yours, and you rise to the occasion and you give it away, it's a tremendous act of what the world is about. When the government takes it away from you and shares it with somebody else, right, you've diminished who I am as a person. You've taken away part of what I feel connected to, and that's why people react so strongly against it. And you've taken away my opportunity to grow as a person by being willing to share it. And that's not the purpose of the Bria. Okay, so I'm going to wade into one more thing, one more the present situation. So in my simple mind, I saw a beautiful article from Jonas Rosenblum. We touched on a little bit on what we're saying. He says the issue of reopening the economy now takes on a little bit of a different flavor if you think about it from this angle. This is people's chiyus. This is their self-worth. This is whether people are going to live or die. In a practical sense, poverty is the difference in hygiene, the living quarters, protection from illness, etc. All right, the world life expectancy has increased because a large part of the world in the last 20 years has been raised out of poverty. Well, we're about to impoverish them all again. That's going to diminish life expectancy. It's going to diminish in many ways life, the mental health of people, etc. Okay, now that's the thought I wanted to share with you. I just want to share with you one more thing, if indulge me, please. And it's really, it's mamish from a different angle, but I'll show you where it overlaps. There was a Levaya this week of Rebbe Tzinchaya Ozband. So you've heard of this, Rebbe the Yeshiva, Rebbe Avram Ozband, the Yeshiva, this is his mother. So my Rosh Yeshiva tells Rebbe Isaac Ozband, this is his Rebbetzin. So Rebbetzin Ozband was Nifter, the Levaya was Sunday. So, you know, again, it was done by, you know, you had the, you know, over the audio connection, you could hear the Hispedim. So, Rebbetzin Ozband was a fascinating woman. I was, you know, I'd say close to her, but I was, you know, definitely had a lot of opportunities to interface with her. I used to go to the house a lot to eat, etc. She was the daughter of a Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch, the tells of Rosh in Europe, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shmom, Shen Yikim Domoy. He was the Rosh Hashiva. When Gifter referred to his Rosh Hashiva, that was her father. She was one of the three surviving daughters. Mm-hmm. She was with her father at the end, and she survived. Before he died, he was so weak, you know, he wanted to learn the sugya of Kiddush Hashem and the Gemara before he was killed. She had to read the Gemara to him. He was too weak to hold the Gemara and to read it. She was brilliant to the extent that she, you know, I'll give an example. I was once there for a Shabbos Suda, and the Rav Isaac was always learning. I mentioned to you one time about Rav Isaac. Rav Isaac was the one who called me in and offered me a belt. Did I tell you that story? Yeah. Rashi Rav Isaac called me one time. He used to go fundraising for the yeshiva to Mexico City every year, and he used to stay by a certain family. So he came back. They were in manufacturing, you know, clothes, etc. And he called me into his office. He wants to give me a belt. So I said to Rashi, you know, I have a belt already, but I don't need a second belt. So he says, you need two belts. So I asked him, why do we need two belts? So he says, because if you have two belts, you can leave the belt in the belt loops of the pants when you change your pants, and you'll have more time to learn. Because the 15 seconds it takes to take the belt out from the old one pair of pants and then put it into the new pair of pants is time lost from learning. Okay, that was a sheet revising. I mean, he wasn't joking. This is how he lived. Like everything was Oyska Cheshman. When you would talk to him and learning, he would learn, he would stand. But when you would talk to him, he would lean because he was listening. He was saving his kachas for more learning. He wore slip-on shoes because tie shoes would be wasting his time. He stayed by family. The boys learned the tales eventually. So one of them said, you know, when Rav Isaac was there, he stayed in the same room. Like he was like there to help him, etc. He says, Try as I could, I could not get dressed faster than the Rashiva in the morning. So that was Rashiva advising. He was called Kulot Torah every single second, learning. We were there by Shabbos Suda, and she was in the kitchen preparing the next course, etc. The kitchen was right next to the dining room. And Rashiva Isaac said something, and then there was a voice from the kitchen, but the Reisikin, 26 years ago, you said differently. That was Rebbetzin Ozband. Remsen Osband, once, there's a woman who survived the war. She was left all alone, basically. She had three sisters survived. One sister survived, was in Shanghai. Her older sister married a Baruch Sirotsky. So Rav Isaac and Rav Baruch were brothers-in-law. So Rebetzin Sirotskin got married before the war, and they were in Shanghai during the war. She had another sister, which I'm not sure what her story was, how she survived. Rebetzin was by herself during the large part of the war. She finally survives the war. She's zocheh to marry Rav Isaac. She's zocheh to have children. Rav Osband, you know, Chaim Mordechai Osband has yeshiva of 1,000 talmidim. I mean, she once asked the girls. She started Yavna Seminary in Cleveland for the post high school seminary called Yavna. So it's not big anymore. It still exists anymore. But you know, but B'shaita, that was her seminary. She once asked the girls, "What do you think the happiest day of my life was? The day that she knows that she survived the war, that she married Rav Isaac, her first son, her first chasna, her first enochle, you know, like, what was the happiest day of her life?" So she said, "Girls, the happiest day of my life was the day that I thought I was going to be zoche to be killed on Kiddush Hashem." Okay? Get a picture of who this woman was. We used to refer to her as Tanta Chaya. Tanta Chaya was a woman who was always smiling, always greeting you friendly. She would giggle with the girls. She went to the girls and says, "Girls, you don't think I appreciate the beautiful dress? Preemptive? Of course I do." With all of her greatness, she was down to earth. Because one of the hashkavas of Tells is that Adam is not going to be Adam if he denies part of who he is. He said, Rebbe Meir Zatzal said in the last capitul of Tillim, we talk about Halo Kel B'Kotshoi, Riki Uzoi, and we talk about these different instruments. What we're really saying is there are different emotions, different feelings, different experiences of man, and all of them come together to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But instead of trying to pretend they don't exist and stifle them because you feel uncomfortable with them, you have to know that's truly who you are and use that to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says, Rabbi Kiva saw Asus turn into Harash. The Mora Tainis, the Mora says that she came, she was sent by her husband, who was the Roman governor, to attempt to seduce Rabbi Kiva, to cause him to win a Veira, and he would lose his status and his protection of clientele, etc., etc., etc. He wasn't seduced. But when she came into the room, she was one of the most beautiful women of her generation. So Rabbi Kiva responded by being rock, sochak, ubocha. He spat, he laughed, and he cried. Someone says, "What was that about? Rock, right? They were making such a big thing out of human, out of beauty. It comes from a tipa srucha, it comes from nothing. So it's just, it's mias." Sochak, he saw Ruach HaKadosh that eventually she's going to come with Giyaris, and in his second marriage, after his wife died, he'd marry her. Ubocha, and he cries, "Al hai shuvah the balag." Eventually, this beauty is going to be buried. You're calling it mias and beauty at the same time. So Rabbi Elimeir said it because a true Oyvid of Kadosh Baruch Hu was aware of all of the different emotions inside of him, and they're all real, and they're all valid. You have a feeling of mias from the whole idea of trying to seduce people, etc. Seduction, it's not real. It's all this fake. And there's beauty, and both are real. Instead of trying to deny it, you're supposed to use it to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a woman who can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu by enjoying a beautiful dress, and by mikel a Kadosh Hashem. Right? So that's what, from that vantage point, the Tells are vantage point, that's how you're supposed to look at money. It's not this trefazat, it's part of the experience of man. We have, the Russian made us, we connect to it strongly. So that just heightens the Kodesh Baruch Hu that they gave it to us. It heightens the awareness of it's a matana from Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to use it properly. And it gives greater value when we have the strength to give it away and share it with others. And that's the parasha of Shemitah. It's your property, but it's Kadosh Baruch Hu's property. And you're going to spend a year not using it. So the chinuch says that it teaches you the Bereshit created the world 7 days, 7 years. It shows you that the Bereshit has hashkacha. He's going to make sure that you have what you need. It shows you to have bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it shows you the divas to share. It's not four different things. It's all the same thing. It shows you you have an achuza. You want to make money with it? The Bereshit gave you the achuza reason. You can't just sell it. It shows you that you have money. You want to give it over to somebody else. The Torah has to create a vehicle to give something away because it's part of who you are. It shows that you have to share it with your brother, and that's called chayim. It shows you that when you sell a bias, there's going to be some period of time you'll be able to get it back because that's part of who you are. It's a whole different flavor. I think there's a lot to think about in this week's parasha. Okay.